Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community
evening,
Christian Fellowship.
And
you are now tuned in to
my
the Pastor Spot.
Tackett.
My name is Terry Tackett.
And
at this point, the Pastor Spot, a weekly radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett. And now I will turn it over to the host of the show, Pastor Steve Williams. Steve Whitaker. Pastor. I'm sorry today.
What happened there?
Jeez.
We were just talking about that interview with Ashley Williams from the Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
Oh, and you called me Steve
Williams.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
Okay. I grew up with Steve Williams. But anyway, that's beside the point. Hey, it's good to be here on this Thanksgiving week. I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship.
Okay, Pastor, let's try this again. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. I had pressed the wrong button there for a second. I do apologize about that. My name is Terry Tackett, and you are now tuned in to the Pastor Spot, a weekly ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. At this time now, it is my privilege, as soon as he's finished up here doing what he's doing, I will turn it over to the host of the program, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Terry, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I do apologize about that. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I hit the wrong button
just
there.
Just having some technical difficulties.
Yes.
hey, it's great to be here. It's been a few weeks. I didn't get to see you guys over Christmas, but boy, do we have a busy Christmas time. And it's just been such a great time over the last few weeks and celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. I think that week from the week before Christmas all the way through Christmas, about a 10-day stretch, I think that I was just literally between my wife and I and several others, we just ran and ran and ran. You know, this year, and thank you so much to the community in and around Prospect and certainly outside of Prospect too in Delaware and even as far away as Columbus that had helped us. We were able to provide Christmas for over 100 kids this year.
Wow. That's
amazing.
That's great.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
You know the coolest part to me? Was being able to share Jesus with those people. And the morning, being able to talk to the parents and have a message that Saturday morning when they came and shopped for the gifts. Just wonderful time. We had a great, great Christmas Eve service, which is always my favorite time. Because it's the time when things are all right. Anything you were going to get done for Christmas, you better be done by Christmas Eve or right on the verge of it. And at that time, we're usually kind of wound up, and we're ready to just slow down and you know, grasp everything that's gone on over the last couple weeks and really have that time to slow down and think about what Christmas is really about. And we were just packed on Christmas Eve at our 9 o'clock in the evening service. And
I read one of your posts there. I enjoyed that one. You said about the ham and a warm blanket and the message or whatever.
That was good. Being able to go out and reach those elderly people like that, you know, it's really sad that a lot of times elderly people are literally forgotten. And shame on people that forget them. and what I mean by that is, you know, we should take care of our families. We should take care of our parents, certainly. And I can understand how there can be animosity in a family. I can understand how there can be great hurt. Because some people don't treat each other well. Sometimes parents do very wrong things to their children. But you know what? I think when your parents get old, especially your mother, I think you have to look past that and say, you know what, I wouldn't be here today if she didn't feed me. And I understand there's great hurts, but, you know, nothing feels better than putting aside those hurts, that anger, and maybe building that bridge, rebuilding that bridge, going back. It's great for your own heart. It's great for your soul. It truly is.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, that was great. Just going in and helping some people with some simple things so they could enjoy just a little bit.
And
there's so much of that out there. I encourage people to reach out and seek those people that really need that. But no, it was a great, great time this year. We had 27 people at our house. We were jammed.
As I say, I was watching your photos there too. So it looks like you must have got your basement done or whatever.
I've got one wall that
you had a few of them hiding, but it looked like there was a lot of people at the table.
I mean, oh yeah, there were. I've got one wall in the basement that I walled off, put two doors in for at one end of it that I've got to get finished as far as the paint and trim and what. But the rest of the basement's been done for quite a while, and it makes it nice when the family's there because you know you go downstairs and it's just like another floor of the house, but it's very much more accommodating than the
Looked like everyone was having a good time.
They did have a wonderful time.
That's good.
My sister came in from Columbus, which she doesn't. We don't spend a lot of Christmases together. A lot of times they go to Tennessee to see different family and whatnot. But anyway, it was a great time. I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. You can reach us at 740-494-2222. Or you can reach us at prospectccf.com. Our service times are Sunday morning. We have morning Bible study at 9:30 and worship at 10:30. And an evening Bible study at 6:30. We have midweek services. We can't forget about Team Kid every other Tuesday at 6:30, and that's a great time, too. And, of course, I'm still swinging away at Pizza with Pastor for the young people. And our youth group's been doing great this year. They've just been really having a good time. So I guess this year's about up. We only got a few hours, right? And that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight. Do a little bit of a New Year's thought, thinking ahead for New Year's, for the new year coming up, 2020. Wow, that sounds like a big number. I imagine when I was a young man, if someone had said, "I what would you be doing in 2020? I'd have said, "I don't know. You think I'll be around?" But no, it's 2020 already. Wow, unbelievable.
A decade. Where did decade go?
Where did that decade go? Boy, it did fly by. It really did. Yeah. But, you know, what I want to talk about tonight is I want your 2020 to be better than your 2019. And, you know, God offers us that every day for things to be better in our lives. But I just have a few thoughts. I want to toss out a few thoughts tonight on some things that maybe can make your year a little bit better. You know, one thing, the very first thing that I'd like to say is one of my favorite verses of all time. When I was a kid, it was a church. We had an annual verse every year. And our pastor's wife would put it to music, and we'd sing it as a song. And she'd put it to music in different verses and whatnot. This one did not have the best tune to it. I never cared for the tune too well, but the verse really stuck in my mind. And it was Jeremiah 33:3. And he says, "Call unto me, and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things that you don't know. That you do not know." And I paraphrase that a little bit, and basically God's saying, call unto me and I'm going to show you some stuff that's going to blow your mind. And what I mean by that is what God has planned for us is beyond beyond measure, beyond anything we can imagine. You know, we always imagine, if I could just get to this point, if I could just get this problem taken care of, if I could just get past this issue at home, if I could just get past this issue at my work or this issue with my car, you know, those are just little things to God. God wants to show you things that are so much greater that when those things come along, they don't burden you so heavily because, you know, he's got you and he's there. And so the first thing I think that, you know, as we begin a new year, call to God more often. You know, tell God to show you the truth. And really, there's one of the keys to that is knowing that if we're going to call unto God and ask him to show us the truth and to give us the answers we need, we have to be willing to accept the answers he gives us. And we have to be willing to afford him that place in our life that is going to put him first and foremost. And if something that we learn or we grow and in studying his word that we learn is something that we don't quite agree with, get over it. Because we can't change the word of God to meet our needs. The word of God is there to meet our needs. But as it is, as what he says, we don't change it. We're not going to go in and say, God, I like everything you did, but this little part right here you didn't do quite right, so I think I'm going to fix it for you. No, God had his plan. His plan is perfect, and his plan is unchanging, and that's something we have to accept. Another thing that I want to point out is that I think is very important is to understand who Jesus is. One thing about Christmas that I think it can be almost a detriment to our faith is that all this sometimes the only time people celebrate Christmas is to celebrate Christ's birth as a baby. Well, you know, this part in Scripture of him being a baby is about yay long. You know, he grew up to be a man. He grew up to have a ministry. He grew up to fulfill God's call on what he was to do, to come to this world and offer himself a sacrifice for our sin, and to die and be raised again and defeat death, so that we can then accept him and that free gift that he gave us to cover all of our sin. That's what he came for. We don't see that in the baby. Do you know what I mean? It's wonderful that he came. I mean, that's a blessing, huge, huge thing. But it's real interesting. Terry, let me ask you a question. If say we're going to have a birthday party for you next year, and it's going to be a great big event, and invite everybody in. When everyone comes, are we just going to get out the movie projector and show pictures of you in your cradle when you were first born, and that's all anyone talks about? Now, that'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a tendency to be. That's some people's extent of worshiping God, rather than realizing that baby in a cradle was actually the third part of the Trinity and God himself, God with us. That's what Emmanuel is. He's God with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to look at him as a baby. So we need to get past that. We need to understand, you know, who he is and why he came and accept that. But there's some other things we can do, too, that we really need to think about, you know, in going into a new year, if we're going to make this a different year than it's been before. The second thing I would say to do is to put other people first. You can't beat that. You cannot beat that. I saw something that it was... briefly on, they were talking about it on television or something today, maybe on the news, about how when people do things to help other people, there's something naturally and chemically that takes place in the brain that relieves pain. In other words, people that are sick or having a lot of problems themselves, at the time when they're helping other people, pain seems to be alleviated. Now, I find that's kind of interesting. Because, you know, God tells us to put other people before ourselves, and we're supposed to do that. And so why wouldn't there be a natural process that when we do it, we're going to get some type of something's going to take place that's going to ease our own pain by helping other people's pain? Does that make any sense? Because it certainly does to me.
Sure.
And all the time we find out that studies and researchers and different things find out things that I look at it and I hear it and I see these studies and I say, well, dummies. You know, the Bible's been talking about that forever. Why are you just now picking up on it? And I think a lot of times we want to give our man's credentials to God's things. You know, well, I'm not going to believe it till I do it. You know, you got to show me, you know, that kind of a thing. And when if we just accept God and his word and what he says, we get through a lot of this stuff a lot quicker. Something else that I think is important in the new year is to accept forgiveness. What I mean by that is, if someone has wronged you in any way, at any time in your life, and they ask for forgiveness, or even if they don't, forgive them anyway. I mean, if people continue in the same pattern, I mean, we're to forgive, but it doesn't mean that we necessarily have to walk right back into it. But I think a lot of times, I think that it breaks my heart to see people, and it's a real fear people have a lot of times in stepping up in the church. Someone may have gone through a time in their life when maybe they did a lot of bad things, or maybe they part of their life they're not real proud of. Well, and say they start going to church, and they accept Christ, and they begin this wonderful new life, and they want to step up, and they want to be active in the church. And a fear in the back of their mind, which of course Satan puts there because he works through fear and he knows how debilitating fear can be, is that, wow, somebody hears I'm doing this, we're going to think, well, what rights he got to do that? Do you remember when he blah, 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 blah? You know what I mean? And there's a lot of people that operate from that. I remember, you know, I didn't exactly have a spot-free youth myself as a youth. I did a lot of things I shouldn't have done. But the truth is, when you start in a ministry, many times you think, wow, someone's not even going to believe this. You know what I mean? And I would imagine today, Terry, after all these years, and after all of what the Lord has done through the church and with the ministry, there's probably still people that say, I don't know. Back when he was 16 years old, I remember when he, you know, it's kind of like, and it's sad to be that kind of a person. And I try not to be that way myself, you know. I like to start a clean slate with people. I really do.
Yeah.
Because I don't know where their life's at. One thing that's always been very easy for me is to forgive, forget, and start over. Now, I've been around a long time, long enough to know that sometimes if somebody hasn't really changed, if their life hasn't changed, you're gonna know it pretty quickly. But you know, if someone comes to me and they say, you know, Pastor, you know, I've been down this road. Maybe they did something to me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe whatever the case may be, and say, you know what, I really want to start afresh. You know what I want to do to that person? I want to hug them and say, let's go. And go from there. Wouldn't life be better if we did that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be so much better if we did that? But God wants us to do that. He wants us to carry a spirit of reconciliation with people, to reconcile our differences, to be able to come together and put first things first and important things first. And this feeling stuff, we're getting too much. Our society's getting too touchy-feely in a lot of these ways. Everyone gets their feelings hurt. You know, I got my feelings hurt a lot growing up. We all did. We still do. But that should not be our guiding light, is our feelings. And if we're going to live by our feelings, we're going to be a mess our whole life. And everything's going to offend us, and everyone's going to offend us. And I think sometimes we have to be willing to just say, you know what, I'm putting this stuff aside. And for the sake of, not only for that person, but for the sake of my own sanity, and for my walk with God, I can't carry this bitterness. It's hard to walk with God and be bitter at the same time. And I think that we have to put those things aside. What do you think? Any thoughts on that, Terry?
I mean, the only thought that I had running through my, and it's probably a dumb question, but the only thought I had was, is there a right or a wrong time for this reconciliation, or does it matter? I mean, just whenever you feel like, you know, or the person feels like it. I mean,
well, you know,
I don't know how to
yeah, I know what you mean, but I think that reconciliation is any time.
Okay.
But what I mean is if the other person does not want to reconcile, you can't control that.
Okay.
If somebody's still in...
But I mean, I guess also too, like, is it your responsibility to offer or?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, all right. So that's what you're saying. Okay, all right.
You sit around wait your entire life on someone to come and want to reconcile. They may not do it, and there's no reason to not trying that reconciliation. I think another thing that we have to do is to. Understand that God changes people. It always amazes me with people when people will say, you know what, God has done so much in my life, and I'm not this, and I'm not the same person I used to be. And then when it comes to that person, they won't believe that God does it with someone else. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we got to get past that. We got to start showing some genuine love. Trust me, I've been really hurt by people in my life. And you know what, Terry? I bet you I've really hurt some people in my life. But we got to let that stuff go. I think that in other areas also, don't be a pot stirrer. We don't need to stir up trouble and always be negative and looking for the wrong in someone or looking for the wrong in this or that or blaming people for things. You know, I know that a lot of times families really argue a lot. A lot of times it seems that after a death in a family, that all these horrible feelings come to the surface and family members start fighting back and forth and then not reconciling together. Put those things aside, you know. I don't think there's anyone that ever, you know, upon losing a parent or someone like that in a close family member, you know, you hear this all the time, you know, mom and dad would want us to be close and put our differences aside. But then they don't do it. And I think that they would, and I think that it's so, so important. It almost looks like people sometimes are so unhappy with themselves, they look at a reason to be angry and a reason to project their anger on someone else or to project the reason for their anger on another party or someone else. And I don't think – we have to take responsible for our own lives and for who we are. We have to take responsible for our attitudes, the things that we do, and we can't blame it on people. Well, I'm this way because I could give you a whole list. And I've told you guys before, when I was 13 years old, in 1 year's time, and I'll forget something, but in 1 year's time, our house burnt down. We moved into this tiny little tin can trailer. Everything that I had so enjoyed with my animals outside, and we had, you know, we had horses and everything, and it was gone. And this is all in 1 year. My grandfather died. My mother had a miscarriage and was very ill. She had a stroke at the same time. My parents were having problems in their marriage, and that developed at that time. My dad was killed in a car accident. That's in that same year. You tell me that doesn't mess with someone's head. But the truth is, yeah, those things happened. But they happened. That was a long time ago. And we have to move forward. We have to decide that, you know what, that may be the lot that I was given at this time, but I'll guarantee you there's people that are given so much less. I look at those kids that are walking, you see them on the news, they're walking down the street, and they don't have any clothes on, and they're tiny little kids and you know, in some war-torn area, or, you know, the things that go, can you imagine being those kids? You know, can you imagine being and in our own country, the stuff that constantly goes on? You know, the way people treat children, kids, I say it all the time, they carry a huge burden. They burden me. The burden I have is for, you know, their feelings, these poor little kids. And we see it all the time all over the world. You know, over Christmas, there were 25 Christians executed on Christmas Day because they were Christians. You know, heads lopped off. How would you like to be their kids? Or their spouse? Or, you know what I mean? And the thing is, there's always someone that has it worse than we do. And, you know, Linda said on the last program, I was listening to it, and she was talking about how, actually it was her guest, I believe, that said that, you know, as Americans, how spoiled we are. And I was thinking as I heard that, I thought, someone's going to be listening to this show, and they're going to think, what do you mean spoiled? I don't have blah, 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 and, you know, I don't, you know, and the truth of the matter is, in this country, by comparison to the rest of the world, I mean, man, we can eat. I feel bad for the kids that can't get out of their own house and don't know where to go get it when there's nothing in the house, but it is there. And, you know, we can eat in this country. We can find clothing in this country. You know, if someone calls the church today and says, Pastor, A, B, and C has happened. We need, you know, between us and other people we can call, we can get them clothes on their back. And these things are available. They can have them.
Get a nice meal and, you know.
Yeah, you know, whatever that may be. I mean, Look, like I just said about the Christmas this year.
Yeah.
And I know Shirley put together 19 meals for Christmas for people. And those are things that can happen. So in comparison to the rest of the world, we do have it well. So as we're going into this new year coming up, 2020, you know, there's so many changes. One, seek God. Even if you don't know him, even if you don't seek out God. You know, Linda was talking on the last show about, you know, the shootings and everything that went on in the church in Texas. And, you know, what is it? Well, how are we going to fix this? Well, I said there's only one way to fix it. It's a heart condition. We have to change where people are at from the inside. And we can't do it. God can. But we have to be willing to share who God is. We have to be willing to quit hiding in the corner and not talking about God. There's a song that we sang as a little kid in Sunday School, Terry. It was called This Little Light of Mine. Remember it? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. And then there's some other verses. The point is, too often we want to hide our light under a bushel and say, I really don't want to offend anybody. What do you mean to offend somebody? If you think that something's going to be better for them in their life, if you think they're going down a wrong path, open your mouth, right? You know, I think the biggest problem that we have in the world today, in America, in our young people, in this disregard they have for human life, is the fact that they have no hope, and that hope's been taken away from them. They're told that there is no God, that God isn't true, that, you know, we came from some amoeba that squirmed its way out of the mud, and, you know, all the things that are theories that have never, you know, there's so many. Look, if you're not going to, if people think that, you know, I cannot teach creation in school, I cannot teach about God because we don't believe that, you know, whatever the case. Man, I'll tell you what, at least teach intelligent design, because intelligent design has got its footprint all over this world. If you don't want to believe it's God, well, don't believe it's God, but, you know, something intelligent created us. It doesn't happen by chance. It couldn't have happened by chance. And anybody that really looks at the evidence will see that it could not have happened by chance. So, you know, as a Christian, I believe that intelligent design is God, and which does make sense. And the more that we read Scripture and study it, we'll understand that. But begin to seek out the right thing, you know. You know, there's nothing wrong with telling God, God, I don't know what I believe, but if you're real, show me. You know, if you're real, show me, please. You know, he says that if we seek him, he won't turn us away. And so seek God. Begin to forgive other people. Quit trying to find the fault in everyone else. Look at our own things and fix them. And it may be a little bit at a time. Is there one thing in your life that you can fix today that you haven't been fixing? It can be anything. I'll tell you something very simple I did. Now, you're going to laugh at this, maybe. But it's just the little things. My wife, as long as we've been married 42 years. And once in a while, I'd make the bed, but she almost always made the bed. For some reason, about a year ago, I decided that I'd start making the bed. And now she's gotten so used to me doing it that usually she won't, if she goes in and the bed's not made, she'll leave it because she knows I'm going to get it. But it was that simple little thing that I just said, yeah, I'm going to start making a bed. So now when I'm in the room getting dressed in the morning, and when I'm done, I think, well, I better make the bed. And it's just become a normal routine thing. It's not even something extra I do. Now, all I'm saying is that's not so huge thing. And some people are going to say, shame on you, Pastor. You should have been doing it all along. But the point is, that's just one little thing. And we can take one little thing at a time in our life and say, I need to do this and make sure that I do it. Doing our laundry. You know, okay, nobody likes to do laundry, but you know what? I'm going to decide that at this time, this day, no matter how I feel, I'm going to go throw it in the washer, then I'm going to throw it in the dryer, and I'm going to put it away. And I can guarantee that when you get it out of the dryer and it's nice and warm and folded, you're going to think, man, I just accomplished something. I mean, because if it's something you do every day, you wouldn't think that way. But if it's not, then you will. And it can go that it's so many things that I do now that as a young person I never paid attention to. I always make sure the tires are good on my car. Bad tires scare me to death. As a young person, I flew by the seat of my pants. Man, I'd run on baloney skins. I didn't care, you know. Or you know, oil changes. Not doing an oil change. And now, you know, I stretch it a little. So, but I always do, because you learn over time that as you take care of things, there's reward and benefit in that. It's one less thing that you have to worry about. And before you know it, things start working better. Things start happening better. I got a long way to go. Actually, I figured out that I need about 3 or 4 lifetimes to become as organized as I probably should be, because I'm that far behind. I'm not an organized person. I've never been. But when I stop and put everything together, there's such a great feeling of satisfaction. You know, going into the new year, let's try to organize our lives a little better. If there's something we're not doing, start doing it. If you don't sit down and have those times when you talk with your spouse, do it. You know, if you don't have those times when you're asking your kids how they're doing, start doing it. If you say, oh man, I don't know, reading the Bible says drudgery, are you really even trying to do it? Take a chapter at a time. How long does it take you? I mean, honestly. I mean, the times it takes some people to brush their teeth or comb their hair, they could read a chapter of the Bible. You know, it's just not that difficult. We make excuses. But what I'm getting at is as we take on new challenges in our life, and it may be the simplest of challenges, and we master that challenge, we can go to the next challenge and make it work. Start making a point to You know what? We don't get up on Sunday morning and take our kids to church. I think this Sunday we're going to start doing it, you know, and you know, the first they're going to yell, come on, we sleep in on Sunday. And you say, well, okay, you know, it's like it's 9:30. I mean, who's not up by 9:30 anyway? And I can guarantee if you were going someplace that you would call fun, you know, tell your kids we got to get up at 8 o'clock in the morning because we're going to Zumbezi Bay.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you they'll be up with bells on dragging you out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, you know, the Bible tells us too. You know, don't fear what can kill the body. Fear what can kill the soul. And many times, you know, we'll jump. I see these people all the time when I'm on my way to church on Sunday morning, jogging early in the morning out there. You know, just ever religiously. Or one guy in town is always on his bicycle. Always on his bicycle. You know, and I'm thinking, you know what? You're taking great care of that body, but what are you doing for your soul? When that body stops, your soul isn't going to stop, and where's it going to be? You know, hey, it's great to take care of the body. I got a lot of lessons in that myself that I need to stick to this year. But the soul's the most important, and we need to take care of it first. I'm not saying not to jog or not to ride your bike. I'm saying, how about we sit down and get to know the Lord? How about we sit down and get to know people that are going to better our lives instead of people that are going to worsen our lives? I've shared many times over the years the bar scene. Bar scene's great when you're young, you know, if you're into that sort of thing. All those people are just such great friends, right? Yeah. Try getting your life together and watch how great those friends are and if they're even around anymore. They're called fair weather friends. And most of them are. And they don't want to see your life get better because that just points at them and tells them that's something they need to do. They don't want to be reminded what they have to do. But if you go somewhere where people do better their lives, you know, when you go into and start coming to church and getting involved in a good Bible-believing church, there's people in there that want your life to get better. And they want to be an active part of your life getting better. And they want to be there when you struggle, when you fall down, and say, hey, man, I'm having problems with this. I can't do it. You know, there's one thing I love, and don't ever think that I'm saying that the church is somehow a freebie social agency. I'm not going down that. That's not what I mean. What I'm saying is when you're at the church and say that you do have a catastrophe at home, you know, something's a big mess, you can't afford to fix it. I guarantee if you're in our church, you're going to have three or four guys come over and say, let's get it done and do it, and it's going to be done in a couple hours. That's a benefit of people that care about each other. You know what I mean? I'm saying don't go to church for that reason. I've seen that happen with people. And I've seen people that will start to a church, and they'll take, and then when they burn everyone out, they'll go to another church, and they'll take, and burn everyone out. You know, that happens. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about going to a place where people care about you, and they reach in, and they help. And you reciprocate by helping too. But those are just some things we can do this year. Start taking an active role in our kids' lives at school. Start paying attention to what they're bringing home. Start paying attention to what their assignments are. Start paying attention to what they're being asked to read. Does it fit your moral values? Does it fit your Christian values? If it doesn't, speak up and say something. You know, we've been so passive in this world for so long that, you know, how did my kid get that attitude? We never taught that at home. Well, you just sat back and listened to him, you know, be fed to him for 12 years, and you wonder why he feels that way. You know, have those active conversations. They're important. But, we got a new year coming up. 2020, it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. I'll share on here my goal for the church, and I haven't even really talked about this much from the pulpit yet. I know last week I talked about having a life more abundantly. Our message was having that life that's more fulfilled and how we go about that, you know, through Christ living in our life and a spirit-led life. And this Sunday's message is going to be the church more abundantly. How's the church going to have a more spirit-led church and a church that is doing what it's supposed to and really out there clicking on all cylinders? And I think that's so important. And it doesn't, you know, when you say that in today's church market, I hate to use that term, but in today's church market, you'll see people say, well, you know, we got to change the music. Yeah, we got to add this. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that are surrendered to God, so that God is using them, and they come together as a group, and collectively God uses them. And they may be the most, what was that word we used, hokey?
Yes.
The most hokey fuddy-duddy in the world, or anything else. But, you know, if they love God and they're serving God, they're going to be wonderful. You know, one thing I do love in the church, we have so many different personalities and so many people that are just so different. I mean, in out in the world, they would never be people that hang out together. But when they're all in the church and they have the common goal and they love God and they're all so different, you see them interacting together, and it's just wonderful. The other night we had game night at the church on Sunday night. We had a game night and kind of our New Year's Eve thing, but it was game night. And we have people from all different walks just having a blast together, playing games and cracking up and laughing and ribbing each other. And, you know, it's just, it's great because they're people that love God, and that's why they're there. They're not looking for agendas. They're not looking for reasons to dislike people. And, you know, people have such a wrong picture of the church, of the true church. There's religious places you can go into that are cold, man. They're cold as ice. They're cold as an old stone castle, you know. But the church really isn't. A true church isn't. You're going to go in and you're going to feel the difference and you're going to know it. Because here's the thing, we're all broken people, and we recognize it. We're nothing but sinners saved by the grace of God. All of us have fallen short, and we recognize that. We recognize the only thing that keeps us whole is Jesus Christ, and we're not better than anyone else. Matter of fact, we recognize how bad we are. That's why we're there. Actually, I heard something the other day. People always talk about hypocrites in the church, and I'll say this: you know, our church is full of hypocrites, and we're actively seeking more. So, if you're a hypocrite, please come to Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. And my point being is this: that, you know, it's a place where we come to get healed. It's a place where we come to be real, to know that God, without God, we're nothing. We are a paradox, and that's what kind of what a hypocrite is somebody that believes or says one thing and does the opposite. And and that's what we all do, you know. One minute I may be saying praise the Lord, and 3 hours later I may be angry and blowing my cork. I mean, we are people. That's what people do.
Emotions,
absolutely. And, you know, people look at people in church and go, oh, there's a Christian. You know, he goes to church. Well, yeah, he does, and you need to be there too. Because if you don't recognize that, though, if you don't recognize that the church is that, that it's a hospital and not a utopia, if you don't recognize that, you're in worse shape than the people that are there. So, you know, it's a great place to be. Now, it's not a place where we come and celebrate in our weakness and say, let's just celebrate how weak we are, you know. It's not like I come to the church and say, you know, I'm a stumbling drunk and I need help. But now that I'm here, I'm just going to stay a stumbling drunk and we're all happy drunks together. No, it's a place where we come to get well. You know, maybe we're suffering with a great deal of pride. Or here's the one I like. Well, I've never really done much wrong in my life. Man, they're the people that really need the church, I'm telling you, because they're in a bad place. We sin every day, and we don't, hopefully, when we walk with the Lord, we don't desire for that to be part of our life anymore, and we continually draw closer to Him, and that relationship draws closer. But, back to what Linda was saying earlier on the other show, on her show. That's the problem with our society. We're just, you know, we've walked away from God. And if you can call anybody can call themselves as progressive as they want to call themselves. I totally call them regressive.
Yeah.
Because if you look what's happened to our society in the last 40 years, as they've gotten more of a foothold without God, we're falling apart. People didn't used to just come in places and start shooting people.
Right.
You know, it just didn't happen.
Right.
People didn't neglect their kids all the time and just leave them at home. People didn't go from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship.
Yeah.
We've bought into the lie the world's given us, that it's all about me. It's about the person next to you. It is that commitment that you make to that person next to you. And that only comes through that commitment that Christ made for us, and we recognize that. You know, the Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. It's not, you're not capable of showing real love unless it's a love that comes through Christ. And people need to understand that. This is the year, folks, that you come to church.
I'll say anyone seeking them, you know, they can get a hold of, you know, if you want to change your life, get a hold, you know.
Call me. 740-494-2222. Leave me a message. I'll get a hold of you. It's a blessing being able to help people. You know, in our small community, we are a community of people, of friends. I've done 2 funerals in the last 3 weeks, and none of them were people. They weren't people that came to our church. I stepped in for a pastor that was ill, and then the other one was a family that didn't go to church. But, you know, they're in the community, and they know you, and they know that you care. And then it gives you the opportunity to love them and to help them. And what a blessing that is. And so I want to ask everyone to please think about your year coming up. It's just not a day. I want you to, tonight, be careful going out there. You know, if you're going to do things that probably shouldn't, at least cover your – get someone to bring you home. Those kids need to see you home alive. If you got too many people in your house, keep an eye on those kids. We live in an interesting world today.
Especially if they bring friends over you don't know.
Yeah, you bring friends over you don't know. Make sure you know where they're at and what's going on. Great. It could be a great year coming up. I look forward to 2020. 2020. That's great vision, right? Isn't that the perfect vision, 2020? So maybe we can have a perfect vision in 2020 and seek to have that vision the way we should. Folks, give us a call. We're at 740-494-2222 at Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. You can also go to prospectccf.com. Love you guys. This will be is streamed live on the Pastor Spot on Facebook. And so check us out. God bless all you guys. Terry, what are you going to do tonight, buddy?
No real big plans tonight. Like I said, just going to probably hang out close to the house and, you know. And
I'm going to kind of kick back and
get some food, I think.
Get
some food.
And enjoy my wife and our time as she cooks and gets ready for that massive amount of kids that will come over and eat it tomorrow. God bless you guys. We love you. Take care. And I'll talk to you shortly. I'm signing off from WWGH Radio in Marion, Ohio.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From legendary comedian